The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast.
Dr. Taz. Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show. Today, we've got Dr. Robin Miller with us. Dr. Miller is an established author of The Smart Woman's Guide to Midlife and Beyond and Kids Ask the Doctor. And she's gathered the knowledge, insights, and anecdotes offered over the course of 33 years treating patients using integrative medicine. She's board certified in internal medicine. She trained, as I did, with Dr. Andrew Weil in integrative medicine at the University of Arizona. And she's medical director of Triune Integrative Medicine, an innovative medicine clinic in Medford, Oregon. She writes for Sharecare, where she's an expert advisory board member, and she's also a medical reporter and regular correspondent for KOBI5, the NBC affiliate in Southern Oregon. Welcome, Dr. Miller.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yes, it's exciting to have a true colleague here. You did the same fellowship program as I, so
definitely.
I know kind of the background that you're coming from. When did you finish your program?
I did it. I was the second class, so I did it in 2002. I finished, or 2002. 2003. Yeah.
Okay, got you. I was a little bit behind you. I finished in, I believe, 2008 and started my practice in 2009.
Nice.
But we're thrilled to have you here on the show. I know that we're both very like-minded in terms of our approach to healing and, you know, treating patients and people that we meet. Would love to know a little bit more about your journey and what led you to integrative medicine. And then we want to talk about your brand new book. So you have a book that just came out in February as well called Healed, Health and Wellness for the 21st Century. So how did you get to the point you are at now? And then tell us kind of what this book represents for you.
I would love to. So I don't know what your path was exactly, but I bet they're similar. So when I first went into medicine, I went the conventional route. And I did research in preventive cardiology. And at that time, this would have been in the early 80s, we were talking about diet for lowering cholesterol, exercise, meditation, ways to reduce stress, and ways to prevent heart disease in people that were at high risk for heart disease. Then I left research and went into practice, and I remember the day I gave a lecture to my colleagues, and I was telling them about, you know, how important diet was, and exercise and meditation, lower cholesterol, and decreased risk factors in heart disease, and one of the cardiologists got up and said, well, you know, we don't need to worry about diet anymore because we have this new drug. It's a statin drug, and it's going to lower cholesterol, so people can eat their Twinkies and take their statins at the same time. Needless to say, I was appalled, and it was kind of foreshadowing what I think came after that, and it's sort of what I call a pill for every ill. So we now have pills to lower cholesterol. We have pills to lower blood pressure. We have pills to improve erectile dysfunction. You name it, we have a pill for that. And I was in my practice one day where my visits in this clinic were getting shorter and shorter, and I was writing my 10th prescription for someone, and I said, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. This is not what I went into medicine for.
I know.
And I knew that what this woman in the room needed was for me to stop and talk to her and really get to the root of her problem, and I didn't have time. So that was the day I quit. And that's when I was going to do the integrative medicine fellowship. So that's what I did. And after
When was that? I'm curious.
That was in 2000.
Okay, gotcha. Good.
I'm older than you. And then I started my practice.
Older and probably much, much wiser. So you started, so you quit in 2000, you do the fellowship, you finish the fellowship by 02 or 03, and then
yes.
Did you start your practice directly after that?
I started my practice in 2006. Because when I left that clinic, there was a restricted covenant, and I couldn't go into practice where I charged people. So I worked at the community health center until I could do that. And
fantastic.
So 2006, I started my clinic, and it's wonderful. So I actually spend time talking to people and helping them. So my new patient
novel concept that your doctor actually wants to talk to you.
I know.
It's crazy. So I'm sure your experience from 06 on was similar to mine. I mean, as we meet people and connect with people and hear their stories mm-hmm. and their journeys, you know, I feel like I get smarter every day. There's still not a day I walk into the clinic and don't learn something from somebody.
Yeah.
How did all of that experience over the years, we're now at 2017, you've had your clinic for a while, you've done all these other amazing activities, and you're involved in the media as well. Tell us how that led to this book, Healed, Health and Wellness for the 21st Century.
Well, so I've learned all kinds of new things that really help people and that are, believe it or not, are all evidence-based. And other physicians around me are not using it, are not doing it. And I thought, you know what? I'm not getting through to my colleagues, but I bet this could become patient-driven. So I talk about a lot of things that I do for my patients that have been incredibly helpful and actually have a cheat sheet at the back so people can go to their own doctors and ask for it.
So for goodness, I love it.
Yeah, so for instance, with the heart, there's a new risk factor called TMAO, trimethylamine oxide. And what it is that when you eat foods that are high in carnitine and choline, so red meat, farm-raised fish, egg yolks, your gut bacteria work on those and turn it into TMAO, trimethylamine oxide. That's a much better risk factor for heart disease and stroke than cholesterol. So it's easy to check. TMAO levels are super easy to check. Cleveland Clinic will actually pay for the blood draw. The test itself is only $8. And if you have high TMAO levels, you're at high risk for heart attack and stroke. And you really, that would be good incentive to change your diet to more of a plant-based diet.
So tell us the difference between like a standard cholesterol level. For everyone out there listening, you know, they may be wondering, hey, do I need to go in and ask for a TMAO level? Or is just asking for that standard cholesterol level enough? Why the difference between the two?
Well, cholesterol, you know, is different for everybody. That, I actually talk about that in the book as well. There are certain profiles, NMR profiles, that you can get that show you what kind of cholesterol you have. So you may have a high amount of bad cholesterol, but it could be the big fluffy kind that doesn't cause problems. Mm-hmm. The dense, small particles are the ones that cause problems. The other thing is that, you know, you may have a high HDL level, and maybe that's protecting you, maybe it's not, because, again, you have large HDL particles that will protect you, smaller ones that may not. So cholesterol definitely is not the answer to all the risks. There are communities in Italy where people have cholesterol levels of 300 and never have a stroke or a heart attack.
Right.
And that's probably because they have mostly large particles, or maybe it's because they eat super healthy and, you know, they're in a blue zone type place where, you know, they'll live to over 100 because of other factors, exercising, eating a plant-based diet, you know, having a wonderful community, meditating, that sort of thing. So cholesterol really isn't the answer. And what makes me very nervous about some of these paleo ketogenic diets is it may lower your cholesterol. It may help you lose weight. But what's going on with your TMAO levels? That's what people need to know. Now, you
can bring
the
TMAO,
you can bring those levels down with grapeseed extract, with extra virgin olive oil, or, believe it or not, Guinness Stout will lower TMAO levels.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I want to publicize that. So have a little bit of Guinness every day, and you will lower your TMAO. So should we all be asking for a TMAO level when we go into the doctor? Is that some of what's in the book? Is that something just to flat out ask for?
I think, yes, you should ask for it. And it's not like it's going to cost you a lot of money either. You just have to contact the Cleveland Clinic. The doctor can get the kit, give it to the patient. Patient takes it to the lab. It's an extra step, basically.
Gotcha.
And then you'll get the level back. If it's higher than 6.2 and it has to be a fasting specimen, then you're at risk.
All right, so that's one little pearl right there, guys, that we've pulled out of her book and pulled out of Dr. Miller here. Is cholesterol really the conversation we need to be having, or is it all about TMAO? Is there anything else you would, you know, maybe pull out of the book as well? It's an area that there's tons of confusion about that maybe collectively everyone's like, you know, running down the wrong road. Anything else that jumps out?
Yes, depression. That's a biggie.
Okay.
So there's a gene that can be tested for, MTHFR.
Yes.
And MTHFR is a gene that codes for enzymes that help you process folic acid. So we all need folic acid. It's important in our diet. Get it from green leafy vegetables. You can get it from vitamins. So when you eat those, a series of enzymes in your gut break them down to something called L-methylfolate. L-methylfolate mm-hmm. is a precursor to dopamine, serotonin, and norepinephrine. All those things make you feel good and give you energy. So if you have a mutation on that gene, your L-methylfolate levels will be down about 30%. Two mutations, you're down over 70%. Now, most of Americans are down, they have one mutation. Mm-hmm. So the treatment's pretty simple. If I give you L-methylfolate, I will boost your levels. It will could potentially help boost your mood. And what a lot of people don't realize is that your gut is lined with brain cells. If I looked at them under a microscope, it would look just like a brain cell. So the other thing it may help is irritable bowel syndrome. Really simple, very simple. It's an over-the-counter vitamin. And if you're depressed or you have IBS, why not try that first before going to medication?
Here's the deal. To truly thrive in all areas of your life, you cannot ignore the importance of good health. I've learned this firsthand, and for many of us, time is our most valuable asset. This is why I love Organifi Green Juice, an organic superfood green juice powder you just add to water to get your greens anytime, anywhere. When you invest in your health, you gain more time because you have more energy and focus to get through your day. The best thing about Organifi Green Juice is that it actually tastes good. Try it for yourself and use the code WHOLEHEALTH at Organifi.com to receive 20% off your order.
Oh my gosh. So I want to hug you through the microphone, but I can't. But we've been talking about MTHFR in practice for a long time. You know, we test for it in practice as well. You know, again, reinforcing this message from Dr. Miller for everybody out there listening today, that your mood is very much connected to your gut. I love what she said, that the gut is essentially lined with brain cells. And if we don't have that piece right, you know, then we really shouldn't be reaching for a lot of medications until we've mastered that component. And MTHFR, for me, is becoming an epidemic. You know, as we became aware of it, we started testing for it, and we see it over and over again in practice. And the majority of the population is deficient in methylfolate, as we're finding, you know, now that we're actually able to do the testing. And so much easier than, you know, I agree, reaching for that first, easy to do, over the counter, not expensive, if you're suffering from IBS or depression or any of these different conditions. What do you think medications do to somebody with MTHFR when they haven't addressed sort of this fundamental issue of nutrient deficiency and gut function and stuff like that? What do you think medications are doing to a person like that when they're trying to treat depression?
It may help to some degree, but, you know, addressing those issues first are much better, and adding exercise as well. But the other interesting thing is medication sometimes can make things worse. So one of the things that I've been doing is doing a genetic test called GeneSight. Are you familiar with it?
Yes, we've been using that too in practice, and I love it.
So GeneSight has revolutionized my practice. So when you have people and they ultimately do need medication, because sometimes the L-methylfolate isn't enough,
right,
it will help you to decide which medications might be the best choice rather than something that's going to actually hurt somebody. And, you know, in the past, I would say, okay, well, you know, if your mom was on Prozac, maybe you'll be a good candidate for Prozac. But it doesn't work that way.
It's a lot of guesswork.
Genetics don't work that way, yeah.
Right.
So it takes some of the guesswork out. It's not foolproof. But boy, does it make a huge difference. And on that GeneSight test, it also, you can test for how people do with pain medication. So I can tell you that we've probably saved lives, you and me both, because there's that gene, OPRM1, that shows mm-hmm. whether you're that person that's going to stop breathing if you get morphine in the hospital. So our OPRM1 is a gene, and if you have one G allele, God forbid, two G alleles on that one, if somebody gives you pain medicine, it may work a little bit, and then they'll just keep upping the dose until ultimately you stop breathing. So that's something that all my patients who have that genetic makeup know, and they know to say, look, this is who I am. If you give me pain medicine and you keep upping the dose, I'm going to die. So you need to know that.
Well, I think even in the context of the society we're living in today, where we're seeing so much mental health, we're seeing a lot of violence, we're seeing a lot of things kind of come together and, you know, really come to a boiling point, essentially. Understanding the role of medications in that equation is essential. I almost think it's a social responsibility. So we also have started doing GeneSight, you know, which again, it's not 100% because the information keeps evolving and changing, but we've been using GeneSight as well from everything from depression, pain medication, ADHD medication, anxiety. And again, it's the idea of personalizing your care, tailoring medical care to you, because it is not a one size fits all. And that's where I think we're starting to get in trouble. And we're seeing, you know, really severe, dire consequences, you know, both at a micro level within a person or within a family, and then at a macro level within a community or within a society. So I'm a huge fan of GeneSight as well. If you guys don't know what GeneSight is, it, you know, you're more than welcome to Google and look it up, but essentially it is a genetic test that helps to match which medications will be appropriate based on your genetics. And a lot of us in practice have started to use it. A lot of psychiatrists are using it. I would love to see it be used more commonly.
Me too.
All right. So
we talk about it in our book as well.
Fantastic. So if you want, and if you want more information about it, definitely pick up Dr. Miller's book, Healed, Health and Wellness for the 21st Century. So, all right. So I know what our listeners are thinking. They're like, I've heard a lot of alphabet soup. They've heard TMAO. They've heard MTHFR. They've heard about GeneSight. You know, the general layout of the book, talk me through that. Is it really more of a handbook for somebody to take and walk into their doctor's office? Is that what your sort of intention is with the book, or what else can we find in it?
On page 181, I have a cheat sheet, so people can actually take it out and bring it with them and ask for exactly what they want with the lab test and everything else.
Okay, so you know, we're going to shift for a second. So there's lots of great information in the book, but we're going to talk about maybe some things that you've seen in your practice over and over again and some of the common questions that you get. I know I get these all the time. So are you ready? Are you ready for kind of this, like, shoot the myths down and let's clarify the truth? What do you think about coffee? Coffee's good
coffee.
Or coffee's bad?
I drink it all the time. In fact, I'm drinking it right now. So I've looked at coffee up and down to see if there's anything harmful about it for myself. And there's very little. I mean, it's actually very, there are a lot of good things about it. It helps prevent type 2 diabetes, and now we know why. There's a chemical in there called cafestol, and probably will end up being some kind of a diabetes drug in the future, but it helps prevent type 2 diabetes. It helps prevent Alzheimer's. It boosts your mood. It helps prevent certain kinds of cancers. And it just generally makes me feel a lot happier. So I love coffee, and the only negative downside is for some people it can cause reflux. Mm-hmm. It definitely can keep you awake at night. It can get very fattening if you go to, you know, one of the coffee places and get like a mocha whatever. And it can then get up to 700 calories, so you have to be really careful.
And 700 calories and those coffee drinks, guys. Watch what you order. And so how much coffee is okay, though? I mean, my typical recommendation is about 4 to 6 ounces. Like, what do you think is okay?
Oh, no,
I do have
actually,
a large percentage.
Some of these
percentage.
Good results come from 2 to 3 cups a day, actually.
You don't find that it interferes with sleep and interferes with anxiety and some of those other...
For some people, it does, and most people shouldn't be drinking a lot of coffee. But for others, it doesn't. So if you're that person that it doesn't bother you, you can have 2 to 3 cups a day without any problem.
What about coffee quality? Are you
thinking
about where you get your coffee beans from?
Well, you want good coffee beans, and probably, you know, grinding them yourself would be a good thing. So,
So coffee. Now let's move on to chocolate. This is my personal favorite. I'm curious to see what you say about chocolate.
Chocolate's also very good. It's good for helping lower your LDL cholesterol. Obviously, it has to be in moderation and good quality, you know, 65% pure chocolate. It helps with boost your mood a little bit because it has some precursors to serotonin. It actually will stop a cough. What I like is that if you take a small square of dark chocolate and let it melt on your tongue, you won't cough for an hour. So if you're like in a theater or something like that, let it melt on your tongue. You're good to go for an hour.
So, all right, chocolate is now the natural cough remedy. So for everybody out there and all moms out there, that's one that's easy for us to put in place, I'm sure.
Super easy.
Let's go to something I've just started to use more in practice. I'm sure you've got more experience with it. Talk about medicinal mushrooms, what you're using them for. Many people associate them instantly with cancer and immune support. Are there other roles, and what are the right mushrooms to use?
Well, I recommend the host defense Sammet's mushroom. Those are the ones I think are best. They need to be in a capsule form because what you want is the fruiting bodies, and you can't get enough just from eating them. So they're good for keeping you healthy. Like if you're somebody who flies a lot, they're strong antiviral properties. So I usually recommend the My Community, which is a blend of 17 different mushrooms. And I love these mushrooms, and I'm not getting paid anything for this, just so you know. A blend
My
of
Community mushrooms.
Yeah, okay. There's a blend of 17 different mushrooms, and it will keep you healthy through the winter. They definitely have strong anti-cancer properties, and I have a great story in the book of a patient of mine who had a Merkel cell tumor. It's a weird skin cancer that is made up of nerves and endocrine gland-type cells. It was on her finger. She came to me. This was right when I opened my clinic over 11 years ago. And I put her on, at the time there wasn't the My Community blend, it was Sammet 7, so 7 different mushrooms. And she was also having back pain at the time. So there's a mushroom called lion's mane. It looks just like that. Yummy mushroom. It tastes like, if you saute it up, it tastes like lobster. And it's 20% protein. It's yummy. And lion's mane's good for actually boosting your mood. It's good for Alzheimer's. You have to take it, or it won't do anything. In other words, it doesn't. The effect isn't long-lasting. It's only lasting as long as you're taking it. So you have to be able to remember to take it. And it's good for menopausal women, boosting their mood as well. But it's also good for nerves. So it helps with back pain and things like that. So I put her on the lion's mane and forgot about it. And between the time she had the biopsy and the tumor taken out, it was about 6 weeks. And she went up to this specialist up in Washington. He is the Merkel cell guy of the country. So he took the tumor out, and then 2 weeks later, I get a call from him saying, what did you do to this patient? I'm like, I didn't do anything. I just gave her the mushrooms. Well, it turns out that between the time of the biopsy where the cancer cells were healthy, at the time he took the tumor out, all the cancer cells had died. So the lion's mane had killed the cancer cells. So now they recommend lion's mane for people with Merkel cell tumor. There are not a lot of good chemotherapeutic options for those patients. And my patient has been cancer-free for 11 years.
That's so amazing. And it's a mushroom that cleared her. You know, as I deal with more and more cancer patients, this is some of the information they're looking for. Like, you know, what's the right mushroom to match this particular cancer? You know, what works with this? You know, is that something you've had a lot of experience with? And can you comment a little bit on that? Lion's mane is one that you've mentioned. Stamina 7 I'm familiar with. For my listeners out there, if you could catch that, it was My Community is a brand of mushrooms, a blend of 17 different medicinal mushrooms that help the immune system, help prevent Alzheimer's, help menopausal women as well. Anything else in the mushroom family? Because I feel like that's a little bit of an untouched area and people aren't talking about that enough. Anything else in that mushroom world, in the shroom world that you'd like everyone to know?
Yeah. So after this happened, I got to actually talk to Paul Sammet. It just was like a rock star. I was like, oh my gosh. Anyway, he told me about his mother. So his mother was in her 90s. She lived out in the middle of nowhere, and she had this huge breast tumor, and no one wanted to do anything. So what he did was he put her on 4 of the My Community in the morning and 4 turkey tail at night before dinner.
Turkey tail.
And her tumor went away. So turkey tail has strong anti-tumor properties for, like, breast cancer. So they use it as chemotherapy in Japan, and we're starting to look at it here. The NCI is doing studies on turkey tail. So whenever I get patients newly diagnosed with breast cancer, or if they want to prevent breast cancer, I recommend they do 2 of the turkey tail capsules in the evening before dinner, and that's what he recommended. Turkey tail before dinner, My Community before breakfast. And it's really been quite amazing. And I actually put my patients who've had melanoma on the turkey tail mix as well. And so far, no one's had a recurrence since they've been doing that.
And does that does turkey tail interfere with chemo at all? Can you do
no.
it with chemo?
No, and there's certain maitake mushroom capsules help with the side effects of chemo. And the thing that's cool about mushrooms is they're food. So, you know, oncologists will tell you, you know, don't take any supplements, and, you know, there's reasons for that. But this is food. And so I've had the oncologists here are finally kind of getting it, and they haven't been objecting to the mushrooms. So
they've helped with, encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, and I think we're learning more and more, because why, I mean, they're so, unless you have a problem with mushrooms, they're good for you. You know, mushrooms take the toxins out of the environment and clean it up. And that's why it's so important that you get the right mushrooms, because you don't want to get them in the middle of that. And that's why Sammet's mushrooms are so good. And you have to be so careful about where you get the mushrooms.
Now, do you take, or do you personally take, and do you recommend women with the escalating rates of breast cancer, do you recommend women just to take it prophylactically?
Absolutely. There's no harm.
Okay. So for all you guys out there who hear us talking about everything from diet and mindfulness and exercise and all the other pieces that add up to being you and your health and you being the best you can be, this is an area that on the show we've not touched. We haven't talked a lot about mushrooms and all the different uses for medicinal mushrooms. So turkey tail is one that maybe you can take prophylactically to help reduce your risk of breast cancer, and then you can also take with chemotherapy if you are having cancer, but the quality of the mushroom matters. So we are, Dr. Miller is recommending My Community and the Stamus brands of mushrooms. Do I have that right, Dr. Miller?
You do, and there's one other quick thing. So cordyceps is a mushroom that gives you energy. It's really pretty amazing. And actually, they make a chocolate bar, a high-quality chocolate bar, Stamus does, with cordyceps in it. So if you're at the opera or something and you're coughing, you can let it melt on your tongue and it'll keep you awake at the same time.
Wow. I love it. I love it. Well, Dr. Miller, you know, we just have a few more minutes left. Is there anything else in the book that you really want to know? You know, you want my listeners to know that's in there. It's a guide to going to the doctor. It's lots of tips and tricks like some of these that we've talked about, TMAO, knowing about MTHFR, knowing about the GeneSight, and now even medicinal mushrooms. There's so much information out there. Anything else that you want to leave these listeners with so they feel empowered and ready and prepared to take on their health and to also take on those tough conversations with their doctors who may still be a little bit behind in this information?
Yes. We talk about Scream Cream to enhance your sex life.
Scream cream. What's Scream cream?
It's Viagra for women. It's Viagra cream for women, compounded with Viagra, aminophylline, and arginine. Great stuff. I'll leave you with that one. And you can find out
gosh.
More.
We're going to have to bring you back. You can't leave us with that. We're screaming for more there.
Well, you can find out about
Scream cream.
Yeah, you can find out about your book at wellhealed.net or on amazon.com.
I love it. I love it. All right. So if you want more tips and tricks, more information like you've heard today, then definitely pick up a copy of Dr. Miller's book. It's called Healed, Health and Wellness for the 21st Century. Thanks so much for joining me today. You know, we do have to give thanks to our sponsor as well. If you guys will visit Organifi, it's ORGANIFI.com and use the code WHOLEHEALTH, you'll receive 20% off your next order. Thanks again for listening, and go out there and get some mushrooms.